All right, you want to pray, Jim?
Sure.
We're in Psalms 98, verse 7.
Father, I read a verse this morning out of Ephesians 4 where Paul was talking to the Ephesians and he was talking about, I hope that you've all are hearing the voice of the Lord and you're being taught by Jesus. Father, as we gather here this morning, we realize the importance of the revelatory word of hearing your voice speak to our spirits and our hearts, Father. You're the one that's building each individual temple here, Lord. It's by your word. So, we don't want a mind full of information. We need revelation, Father. We want to be taught by Jesus. We want to hear the voice of Jesus. And we do, Father. We do by the anointed teachers that you have in here and preachers and etc. But in that same chapter, it talks about how by your grace you've given each one of us a measure, a gift, a measure that each one of us has. And that every joint is to supply, to build up the body. So, Father, we just pray that we'll have all the above, that we'll have a measure of the gift that's been given to each individual, even to the youngest to the oldest, Father, in this room, and that we truly will hear the revelatory word coming through the mouth of the teacher, Father, what you have spoken to his heart, Father, not what man has spoken to his heart. And let it be life. Let it be life to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on in.
We were waiting.
No, that's come on in. Okay, Psalms 98:7. It's interesting for couple reasons, but one reason is when you read it in a lot of different other versions, it sounds very contradictory, and we're going to talk about that, and you're going to draw your own conclusions. I came up with a conclusion that I'll share, but ultimately, we'll see what the Lord reveals. But in Psalms 98:7, it says, "Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein."
I can slide up. Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Okay, so we're going to get into what the Strong says about that scripture, especially the sea and the world. But let's read this in the NLT, and there was a lot of other versions that were similar to this that seems somewhat contradictory, and we're going to kind of break this down. It says, "Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in." We're going to break down the King James, and then we're going to see, gosh, it just seems like there's a contradiction here. I don't necessarily believe that there's a contradiction, but we're going to break this thing down. Seems like there's a paradox. Do they contradict? And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about it. First of all, this word sea was very interesting to get into the word sea. When you look up the sea in Strong, it says from an unused root meaning to roar. Okay, that's the next word. I mean, just pretty interesting how the first word goes right into the second word and they have similar meaning. The primitive root of the word roar is to tumble, be violently agitated, specifically to crash of thunder, figuratively to irritate with anger, meant to fret, roar, thunder, trouble. That sure sounds a lot different than the NLT version, doesn't it? We'll go back to the NLT version. It says, "Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in." Okay, so We're talking about being violently agitated, irritated with anger, trouble, fret. That's all comes from the sea.
Humanity.
That's it. So let's talk about what the sea's all about. And I believe, you know, when you read it in King James, it's basically telling us, let the sea do whatever it does, just don't let it distract you. You know how the sea can distract you? The sea is humanity, the sea is those who are not born again. Because the sea eventually is going to come to earth. The sea will come to earth, period. It says in, we've talked about this before, but I really think it's important to get back, especially for those on the internet that are listening to this teaching. The sea is, this is from Evie's letter, the sea is the lowest realm of man's life. Okay? The body realm, where lies the root and source of all evil.
The flesh.
Yeah. And that right there tells you that Strong's definition is, you know, violently agitated. Who gets violent? You know, when we're in the spirit, we don't get violently agitated. But when we allow ourselves to get on the seaside, we can get agitated sometimes. But anyway, something strange and astonishing happens to the sea. Before we consider that, let us reiterate that throughout the scriptures, the sea is a type individually of the inner storms and turbulent nature of the Adamic man, and corporately of the raging, relentless, surging masses of degenerate humanity.
That's good.
Tossed to and fro by these inner storms and turbulent motions of the natural mind and the flesh, the prophet Isaiah penned these inspired words, "The wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Isaiah 57:20-21. Jude also described so-called believers who walked as natural men when he said, "These are the raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. One thing is certain, God has complete power and full authority over even that lowest realm within every saint of God. The word of the Lord declares, thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them." Psalms 89:9, which we're going to get to. "The consciousness which dwells in the sea does not know anything about God." When you are raised out of the sea realm into the earth, you enter a realm which is higher than the sea but lower than heaven. An in-between realm, which at its highest peak kisses heaven and its lowest level embraces the sea. Mm-hmm. That mixture. Yet in the true sense, it is not entirely heavenly or spiritual, nor absolutely wicked and degenerate. In simple terms, it is the realm of mixture. Mm-hmm. Heaven, on the other hand, is the highest degree of life and plane of consciousness unto which man can attain. The spiritual, divine, heavenly, and incorruptible life in Christ, in the power of his resurrection, sharing his nature, mind, glory, wisdom, righteousness, and power. And that is out of his newsletter, part 180 and 181. But you go back, and it just seems like there, let's just read, now that you have that understanding, which most of you already did, but it just, I like how he brings it out. He brings it out very succinctly and very clearly so that anybody could understand it. But when you go back and you look at Psalms 98:7, it says, "Let the sea roar." Let it roar. Let whatever's going on out there in politics and everything else, and it's, let all that noise, let them roar. Lord, let them roar and the fullness thereof. In other words, all those that are in the sea, let them do what they're going to do.
Because they just have their time.
Exactly. And that, there you go. Time is my theory on why the King James is different than the NLT or Amplified or a lot of these other verses. It's all about timing. Okay? You hit the nail right on the head, Brenda. Anyway, it says, and then it says, the world. What's interesting is the sea is the world. And they that dwell therein. Okay? We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? So we have to deal with the world. We have to let them roar, let them do whatever they're going to do, but we don't have to be a part of it. Right? So now let's read the NLT and say, wow, there's definitely a paradox, it seems, in these two translations. The NLT says, let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. That's not the literal translation of Psalms 89:7. But in due time, it will be. In due time, the sea is going to become the earth, and the earth is going to become the heavens. And then, guess what? Everything is going to shout his praise.
Back to the Garden of Eden.
Exactly. And the earth, let the earth and all living things join in. But anyway, I just felt it was really interesting there that if you really break down the King James, sea and roar, I mean, it's what's we're dealing with when you turn on the news whatever you're dealing with out there, you're dealing with the roaring sea. The roaring sea is alive and well, but will basically, the roar is going to turn into praise and shouting of the glory of God, and will become praise and worship. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I just thought we'd start off with that. Anybody have any comments or thoughts on that?
No. In my prayer, when I start out about hearing of Ephesians 4, hearing the voice of Jesus being taught by Jesus, and then Paul goes on to say, therefore, being no more tossed to and fro, then there's that humanity at sea again. Mm-hmm. That's what the sea will do. He'll take you here and take you up down and over here. But if you hear the Lord and you're taught of God, that's you're building on the rock.
Yeah.
You're not going to be tossed to and fro.
That's good. Go ahead.
And can't you tell immediately what it is that you are living out of immediately when you're feeling tossed to and fro, but then when you settle yourself into that wonderful rock of living
ages.
In the awareness of his presence.
Where there's peace,
fullness, and joy,
his presence.
It's a choice. We have the choice to turn all that off and let our dwelling be a dwelling of peace.
Yeah.
The unfortunate part, sometimes with me, Kathy, is you can go half the day not realizing that you're in the sea being tossed to and fro.
That's very true.
And you finally get to the point where you just get so aggravated that it presses you in to the point you go, hey, wait a minute. I know what this is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's call an attack of the enemy or whatever. And then we have to get focused again. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it takes a long time before you realize that you're in the ship being tossed to and fro because your emotions are blinding you. It's the soul realm where the battle is taking place.
And that leads directly to that time when they were in the boat and Jesus was asleep. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in the heavenly realm. That boat could have flipped 3 times and he wouldn't have woke up because he was not moved by the seas. The violentness of the waves and whatever, and the storms, he was not moved by that at all.
He already said, let's get in and go to the other side.
Right. He already knew.
He
already knew they were going to the other side, and they should have too, but they allowed the sea, the roaring sea.
The in-between.
The mixture.
They didn't recognize who they had on board.
There you go.
You don't sometimes. I know. Like you said, you go off.
But what did Jesus say when they finally woke him up, and you know, and this violent storm was going to consume them and kill them and destroy them and whatever? What did Jesus say?
Oh, you go away. And that's why they had to go through the storm.
Exactly. Then what did he say? What did he say to the storm?
Peace.
Be still. Be still.
Peace. Be still. That's the heavenly realm. That's the heavenly realm. Peace, be still in the midst of the worst storms of your life. Whatever you're going through, whatever you, gosh, I mean, whatever it is, regardless of what you're going through, there is peace and stillness if you are in that heavenly realm. But if you choose to stay in the sea realm, you're going to get tossed to and fro. And it's going to be violent agitation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be trouble. You're going to fret, and you're going to tumble.
Jonah chose the sea realm.
Pardon?
Jonah chose the sea realm.
Exactly. And what happened to him?
He cried out. And that's why I think the Lord allows the troubling seas to come in on us too. So it'll develop and perfect our faith. Because mm-hmm. when you cry out, he's always there to deliver. But you have to cry out.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what the disciples did. They cried out to the Lord. Lord,
yes, there you go.
Don't you care that we're going to perish? I mean, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, we're all going to die. You know, that's the sea with all its roaring, you know. The sea in them was roaring out. Oh my gosh, we're going to die. But there's no faith there. He said, well, oh, you little faith. I mean, come on. You know better than this.
Well, the sea started having the advantage over them because they didn't think that the Lord cared. They said, don't you care?
Yeah,
and that's where the trouble came from.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of
wow.
us, a lot of times when we get into a pickle,
yeah.
one of the first things the enemy that comes into our mind is,
God doesn't care.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're letting this happen, and you
yes.
know what's going on. You know everything, and right. you're allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
what?
This report of bad health or whatever, you're letting that happen? Yeah.
There's a divine purpose working in all of it.
And,
even the storms.
All things work together for your good.
Yeah.
Well, you may not see it sometimes at that specific moment, but guess what? You'll see it somewhere. Down the road, you'll see it. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting how different it seemed like those two scriptures. I mean, anybody else have enough? I know the message is going to be more like the NLT. I read the message. Anybody else have any other? You have
Amplified
like NLT.
Thing, yeah.
yeah.
Amplified just like King James.
Oh, is it?
Just let the seas roar and all that fills it, the world, and those who dwell in it.
Okay. Okay. I knew there was a couple other ones like. Anybody, you got the message, don't you, Mike? You want to read that one? Verse 7.
Let the sea and its fish give a round of applause with everything living on earth joining in.
Isn't that interesting how really they seem so different, but it's like Brenda said, it's all about timing. There will be a time when the seas will roar nothing but praises to God, but it's not now.
You know, that timing thing is interesting because like in that Brother Lawrence book where it says practice the presence of God, the more often in time that you draw yourself back, constantly be aware. Now, and if you choose not to do that, you like you said, Jean, you can go a day before you become aware that, oh my gosh, I'm being tossed and turned, and look at what's happening to me. I'm joining right in with it. Days can go by, weeks mm-hmm. can go by, months can go by, and before you know it, a year could go by. Mm. And what does that leave God doing? Standing there saying, please, become aware of me. Become aware of me. You don't have to live this way. Become aware of me. And, you know, in my kingdom there is peace. And the more that we just learn to draw ourselves back, however many times a day as it takes, to that peaceful center mm-hmm. that we've got.
And that's the determining factor of where we are. Mm-hmm. If there's no peace, you've heard the scene, the bumper stickers, no peace, no God. If there's no peace, there's no joy. You know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God.
Aren't we in that situation now?
Pardon?
Aren't we in that situation now where, you know, there's trumping in the sea?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say any names, but all you got to do is look at Mr. T.
Well, but the bottom line, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. And what it's saying, the way I interpret it is this: let the seas roar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a conscious effort of doing something, letting something happen. Don't be like the sea. Mm-hmm. Don't roar like the sea.
Get so disturbed by it because of the time. Everything has its time.
And whatever it is, politics, whatever. If you're joining with the sea and you're roaring, you don't need to do that.
You either agree or you disagree now, and there's the enemy. I mean, like the Lord says, judgment is mine.
So, vengeance shouldn't be judging anybody, I guess.
So.
Yeah, I mean, basically the way I see it is let all that, don't get agitated.
Yeah.
Don't become part of the roaring sea, because that means what the roaring sea is, being violently agitated, troubled. If you're allowing the roaring sea to trouble you and to get you all worked up and whatever, that's not what God wants.
And his vengeance and judgment isn't as we would get him or do. You know, what he's doing. Yeah.
Well, I think the sea only roars, the verse says, and those who dwell in it.
Exactly. If you choose to dwell in it, guess what? You're going to be a part of it. And you're going to be no different than the disciples that finally go to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, don't you care, when you don't have to go there. That's a choice. You're going there because that's a choice.
It's growth.
It is.
It's growth. It's
just
like
it's not condemnation, but it is a choice.
It is. It's all growth.
You know, and when there's things that we've all heard people even here say, things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. And then all of a sudden, the heat's turned up another notch, and guess what? It bothered me. So that's the growth process that, maybe this level doesn't bother you, and you can just be peaceful and joyful, but then it gets turned up to here, and then you start to feel your heart race a little bit, and you start to see the blood pressure go up, and then it goes to here, and you go, ah! And that's where I think we can then look and learn from that and say, okay, none of this should affect me.
Isn't that what James meant when he said, count all joy?
Yeah.
And when you're going through that sort of thing, because you're supposed to go through it and you're supposed to grow through it.
Yes.
Go and grow. Instead of, like the children of Israel, all they did was murmured, complained. They got delivered out of Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea, and they're 3 days in the wilderness. They're out of water. And all of a sudden they start complaining and murmuring.
Mm-hmm.
Did he bring us out here to kill us?
We'd have been better off staying over there as slaves.
Well, Egypt was still in them.
Egypt was in.
They got delivered out.
And they didn't enter into that life because of their unbelief. They just would not believe. They thought God didn't care. Whatever,
Yeah, we need to just be aware of double-mindedness, because when we are that mixture, then guess what? We're unstable. And, when we're aware of it, we can usually say, okay, stop. Let's sit down and let's have a little come to Jesus meeting here,
And you look at their perception of God, because they didn't want to see him face to face. They were afraid.
Yeah.
And I always think about when Mike spoke, and I shared this with Kathy. She said she didn't remember saying it, but I know of us had the Holy Spirit speaking through her when he spoke about our perception. And she said, our perception is not reality. I can't tell you how many times God has spoke that to me, through things you go through and your perception, and it's not reality. not so good.
So good. And I don't even remember saying
that. Yeah, well, the Lord spoke right through her.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the times that God has brought it to me in things going through or people, things you're seeing. And,
yes. And you know, I've been thinking about this as we're sitting here talking. Of all the things that we get caught up in and worry about and get in, at war with, what in the world is there any one thing that we can do about it? Not, you know, except go through it, and so detach, you know, just don't, why trouble yourself?
Yeah.
You can't fix it. If there's anything you can do about it today, go do it. If not, go on with your life, you know? Leave it go. It's in God's hands. It's good.
Yeah, I was thinking about that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus,
yes.
Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim.
Yeah.
In the light of his glory and grace. And you know, you're talking about the seas roaring, and when Peter got out of the boat, you know, he was just fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But when he began to observe the waves, the wind and the waves, then he began to sink. And you know, that's the thing that, you know, just reverting back to last week when I was talking about a little bit about the cherubim, you know, looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if what we said last week concerning the cherubim, that it was, you know, imaginary figure, and it was literally, I read it out of you know, out of Ezekiel, where it told you that Tyrus was the anointed cherubim that covereth, and he was a man, he was Adam, you know.
Not Satan.
Well, what I said last week was that I feel like Adam was looking in to the ark, and Christ was, the real mind of Christ was the other side looking in, and God appeared in that, in between that.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam had to die, and if you look at what the ark actually meant, it meant a coffin too.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a death going to take place there.
Mm-hmm.
The death of Christ and the death of Adam, and it was going to create one new man.
Mm-hmm.
In the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why his Shekinah glory appeared between those mm-hmm. two natures, see. And it appears between those two natures in us all
yes.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, we'll be going along and we'll be observing the sea roaring and looking at the things just going about and falling apart around us and worrying about this or worrying about the political situation or the things in the world or whatever, or the stock market crashing and all that kind of stuff. And then when we really focus in on the Lord, we realize he's our source. That he has absolutely nothing to do. I mean,
yes.
He'll take care of us. He's promised to supply all of our needs, so we don't have to worry about that stuff. So, but that's where we have the mind of Christ, but we still have a little bit of the mind of Adam at times, which is the fleshly mind.
Yes.
And the two war against each other to a certain extent, but we know who's going to win.
That's right.
We know his nature is going to win. But yet, you know, we do still observe the wind and the waves sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing is that when we turn our eyes back upon Jesus, because what did Peter say when that happened? Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lord, he did.
And he did. I mean, he reached out and grabbed hold of it.
Yep.
You know, and you know, people can complain about Peter, but none of the rest of them got out of the boat.
No.
He was willing to get out of the boat, you know. And sometimes we got to be willing to get out of the boat, even in the midst of the wind and the waves. But we always have to turn our eyes to him and look directly in his face. And as we do that, all of a sudden, the great calm comes and the great peace comes, you know.
I also like that he had the wherewithal and the wisdom to say, Lord, bid me to come.
He didn't just jump out on his own.
He said,
right.
I'm going to wait until the Lord says come.
Well, and that's where a lot of ministries out there get in a lot of trouble, because
yep.
they jump out without God telling them to jump out, you know.
Amen to that.
You know, that's true. That's a good point there.
You know, that's why the sea is such a great example of life, because you can be out in the middle of the ocean. If you ever watched a sailing ship going across on a calm sea with the wind, man, they are just flying.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the storm comes up, you know, everything is in turmoil, but as quick as the storm comes up, it can go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what, you know, what we're talking about here, walking with the Lord. Just wait for the Lord to work it out, and the calm comes back. It always comes back.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that, and I've watched, I like to watch a lot of Discovery type channels and mm-hmm. things like that, but have you ever noticed that when they've shown a tsunami, that what actually happens in a tsunami is there's an earthquake out in the ocean somewhere, and it can be perfectly calm on the beach, and people can be playing and doing all kinds of stuff, and man, all of a sudden some humongous tidal wave comes in, and it just destroys everything. Mm-hmm. And how do you get away from that tidal wave? What do you do to survive that? You go up into a high place. You know,
run.
Even the things
you
of
run.
The natural,
yes.
The clarity
you
of things of the spirit, you go up into a high place, you begin to acknowledge Him
mm-hmm.
who is the high place.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Most High God. And when you begin to acknowledge Him in a situation, then all of a sudden that tsunami has no effect on you. It'll destroy everything below
yes,
you,
it
but it doesn't get you, you know.
Interesting how the animals...
They know. They'll leave
yeah.
before.
Way,
they know.
Way before. Yeah.
Way before.
Way before. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're so dependent upon the Spirit.
Well, even though, I mean, it's not
them,
just with the earthquake. It's not with the tsunami either. Just with the tsunami. It's with the earthquake. It's with
sure.
storms.
Sure. Well, and you know, what is the earth significant of? It's the earth realm. And
mm-hmm.
we need to be, and that, you know, Jesus was standing there on earth, and he told John in the Gospel of John, he said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. He was standing right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he was in a heavenly realm, heavenly minded. And the earth really was having no real effect on him because of that. But yet, you know, when the earth gets agitated, it creates a lot of problems too.
Mm-hmm.
So the earth realm, you know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And when we lose sight of that, then the earthquake shakes us up a little bit, you know. It gets to us a little bit, you know. And we all tend to lose sight of it at times, you know. We do, if we're honest, you know, about it.
Still in this body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can.
We talk about now, and we talk about way back then, when those people was here, or, you know, and this was all new to them. You said, you know, we know what to do now, you know, but they didn't know what to do back then. And they waited on God 400 years. So somebody said, look what he did for them. He walked them through the water and everything. But 400 years they waited on God. And I guess most of them just gave up the way they were living in Egypt, having to do everything and that, instead of knowing what God had them for them over here. So I understand them when I read something about them back then and what we know now. If we knew what we know now back then, it would be a lot different. You'll have to excuse me, but that's just the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I felt sorry for those people because of what I know now, but they didn't know that back then. They hadn't seen any great miracles as they did when God finally got busy. And why he didn't sooner, you know, you can't answer that. But when he did, then I'm sure that some of them started understanding what they had been through and what they were going through.
So, I don't know. Because what I did before I found Jesus, or he found me, I didn't much care what I did back then. You know, to me, I was comfortable in my living. Even though I wasn't, but in me, I felt okay. Because I didn't know what was going to come. Mm-hmm. And when I did come to it, I said, you know, didn't I see what was going back there? Didn't I think what I was doing at the time? You know, I said, Jesus didn't like that, but he didn't do anything about it. I had to go through a lot of things before I came to Jesus. And now I go back and I say, why did I do that? And I'm sure these people said the same thing when they found out who God really was. Mm-hmm. That's my saying.
Let me say this. I say this all the time. I'm 71 years old, I say. I'd like to be 25 and know what I know now. You know, back then, back when I was 25, I'd like to be 25 again and know what I know now.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and what do you think my life would have been? It would have been entirely different.
Yeah.
And the Lord was not ready for me to know that. And that's the thing, you know. He's only going to allow us to know what we need to know when we're ready to know it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing to understand.
Back to what Brenda said, it's all about timing. Yes. His perfect time is his perfect time.
Yeah.
And he makes no mistakes, even though we think he does.
Well, I'm always asking, why didn't he come a little bit sooner?
Because it wasn't his perfect time.
And me and the Lord has on one another. You're what, 70?
One.
I'll be 81 in a couple weeks. And I'll say, Lord, are you gonna send me somebody or not? My time is not your time. And so I keep waiting, and he keeps letting me wait. But that's just a joke we play with one another. I guess maybe he don't want me to have a mate. So,
well, maybe he wants to be your mate.
Yes. Yes.
Because you know, when you have a mate, there's sometimes there's some restrictions there because you have to please that other person also.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes when it's just you, it's you and God.
Yeah.
There's nothing hindering you from praying anytime that you feel that he wants you to pray or seeking him or reading or anything else.
Yeah.
Now, all of us, if we'll be honest, that are married, there's times when you're going to study or something, and maybe your mate needs to go somewhere or wants you to go somewhere with them. And sometimes you'll lay that aside and go just to keep peace in the family, so to speak. You know what I mean? And we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all done that. And the ladies, too. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not just saying this is just for the men, but I'm saying with ladies too. And we do have a tendency. That's why Paul said it was better not to marry in a way.
Yeah.
In that sense, you know, because then you and the Lord can spend more quality time. But when you come to realize he's with you all the time, you are the temple of God. He dwells inside of you. He's there all the time, whether you're aware of it or not at that moment.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you still can commune with him no matter where you're at or what you're doing. But we all do compromise ourselves at times because, you know, we know that we have a mate and they're wanting to do something that maybe, and we know that if we don't go along with that, there's not going to be friction or something. You know, we've all done that. And if there's anybody in here that hasn't done that, please raise your hand. There's nobody in here, I know that. But, you know, but you and the Lord make a majority. And he might wake you up some night and say, will you marry me? Like he did Clarice, and you just say yes, yeah. Lord.
You know, Etta, what you said about what you believed on a global level over thousands of years,
yeah,
is also the very same story. I was sitting there thinking, well, that's my story too, on a personal,
yeah,
level. And it's the story that we all have to come by God's will and God's grace, not knowing what we don't know, making all the foolish mistakes that we made, sometimes embarrassing ourselves and humiliating ourselves beyond comprehension, and going on and trying to, you know, until one day he finds you, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever time it is, it's his perfect time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we somehow are in the perfect will of God, even though it doesn't seem perfect to us in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? From our level, but from his level, yeah, it's perfect. And he loves us. Somebody says something to me, what do you think you are, perfect? And I said, I'm perfect right now for where I am.
Yeah.
I am. He's pleased. He's pleased with where we are.
Yeah.
You know? When you're a little baby, you poop, you know, you eat, you know, you burp. You're perfect. You know? Just keep feeding them. Let them keep pooping. Let them keep farting. And they're going to grow. You know, pretty, yeah, soon they'll take care of you when you're old. Or if you're lucky.
Sometimes you, yeah, take care of them when you're old.
Yeah. 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 Tell me. Anyway, but, yeah, you know, it's the worrying about it.
Yeah.
Worrying about the past. Worrying about the future.
Yeah.
Delight yourself in the present. And, yeah, just relax and love God.
Well, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
You are right where he wants you to be, and you are perfect in his sight.
And you met him right when he wanted you to, mm-hmm, meet him. No man can come unto me, Scripture says, unless the Father draw him. Mm-hmm. The Father drew you at the right time. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, gee, why did he wait so long?
Yeah.
Well, because you were not ready to receive him until you had experienced the things that you had experienced and went through the things that you went through.
Mike and I say that all the time. Boy, you know, we're so much in love and we like each other so much. Why could we wish we'd have met 30 years,
yeah,
earlier? If he'd have met me 30 years earlier, he wouldn't have liked me. And I surely wouldn't have liked him.
Because
he
had been
married anyway.
Wait, I was old when I, well, 50. Mm-hmm. When I actually
gave your life to the Lord.
Gave my life.
Yeah.
And so I had 50 years of turmoil and,
yeah,
aggravation. And
you're in the sea, raging sea.
Yeah. Well, I was.
You were in it. I mean, we're going to adjourn here, but I was just reminded of a story. I sat for a professor while he went on sabbatical to New Delhi, India one time in my junior year of college. And I had to walk by every day this place called the Newman Center.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
ever,
sure,
heard of the Newman,
sure,
Center? Okay. And I knew that was, at the time, that was where the Jesus freaks went. You know? And I kind of felt so sorry for them because, you know, they couldn't party.
They weren't having any fun.
They weren't having any fun. I mean, come on, you can't have any fun with the Lord, you know. You got to do this, you know, sit still in the pew and whatever, you know. And it's just so funny because it wasn't my time at that point. But then now I look back and I go, man, I could have gone and done a lot of things and you know, enjoyed the Lord more and what. Hey, wherever you are today, he says he's going to complete it. He's,
yeah,
going to bring you to, yeah, a completion,
yeah,
no matter where you are. It doesn't matter if it was started yesterday or it started 75 years ago. It doesn't matter. God will complete and he will perform that which will bring about a perfect, you know, individual in Christ Jesus. So you know, you enjoy the journey. The journey is fun if you allow it to be fun. And yeah, it's got some storms along the way, yeah, and whatever. But you know what? Just get that higher godly perspective and enjoy the ride. You know, it's a fun ride. Brenda, you want to pray?
Yes. Father, we so thank you for the word, Father, and we thank you for the fellowship and sharing of you with one another, Father. And we ask in this service coming up, Father, that you be glorified as you've been glorified here in our presence, O God. And as we have fellowship afterwards in the meal, Father, may you be glorified and may you just partake of you. And Father, we thank you and give you praise, for we ask it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.